Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for attending our new client mastermind. Most of you have not met me in person. My name is Karen Fisher. I'm the head of delivery at Enrollment Resources. I've been with ER for about 8 months now, and I'm the one in charge of the production and fulfillment of all your projects. Previously, however, I was the managing director of a private school where I managed admissions, marketing, compliance, and human resources of a rapidly growing school. We actually grew enrollments by 75% in 1 year. And, one of my main struggles was finding the right people to aid the growth, but also navigate this unprecedented environment over the past 2 years. So this is perfect for today. I'm so happy to bring you here to meet with our very good friends and colleagues, Tom King and Lexington Maximus from the Art of Admissions. Most of you may already know them. Together and independently, they have decades of experience. Tom and Lex provide leading edge training on all admissions aspects to improve conversion and specifically process improvements. So Lexington is an award-winning admissions professional, hiring expert, master trainer, keynote speaker, and also a 5-time Grammy Award winner. Tom has a wealth of experience as a COO, director of enrollment, as well as a director of training. So his expertise directly focuses on evaluating and improving admissions and hiring processes. So before I hand it off, I wanted to mention that we will be polling you with specific questions and providing you with the answers that you're looking for today. And we will also have a Q&A at the end. And with that, I will hand over the screen to Tom and Lex.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Karen, for the beautiful introduction, and Jody and ER and Shane and everyone. Thank you for having us here. I love your background. Love the mountains in the background, your plants, Jody, Karen, love that. All right. Well, let's get started here. And do you have anything else, Tom, to say before we get started?
No, we've got a lot to cover today, so let's dive into it if we're ready.
All right, and take notes. Take lots of notes, because when you take notes, you learn twice. So number one, would you share your expertly decorated screen there?
I'm just going to echo what Lex said. Take notes, because you will find that our slides aren't going to contain a ton of bullet points for you. So all of the knowledge that we're going to impart today is going to be directly from us on this. And question for Karen as well. Will this video recording be available to everybody after this?
Absolutely. So we've got the whole thing available to you that we'll send by email. And yeah, there you go.
Perfect. Right. Excellent. All right. And we're going to start, Tom, or I'll start here.
No, you can take it from here and take a run at it.
All right. So number one, everyone, hiring mistakes, of course, can be catastrophic. And I had a mentor many years ago, and she was actually a performing arts director. And she said that 95% of success as a director of plays and movies was casting. If you cast correctly, you cast effectively, it's easy to train and direct the other 5% to create an amazing performance. It's the same exact thing with admissions as well. Because hiring mistakes can be catastrophic for your business, especially if they are on your sales team. Because your sales team, your admissions representatives, are your main revenue generators, of course. And bad hires can cost you a profound amount of money. And many times people have not really quantified this. Well, how much does it really cost? And a bad sales hire can cost you 15 times their salary. It's that critical to really be that intentional to hire the right people. And I'm going to see if my mic changes here, Tom. Any better? It was breaking up a little bit.
I think you're still breaking up for me a bit, Karen. How about you?
Was that right, Norman? Test 1-2, test 1-2. It's okay. Yeah. All right. And so a bad sales rep costs you 15 times the salary. Say 40K rep costs 600K to a million is what they're costing you. How is that possible? The cost comes from not only their salary, their benefits, any severance pay, the cost of recruiting, hiring, and replacement, and the biggest part, the cost of lost production and reduced team morale due to the bad hire's performance all those elements, lack of skill set, lack of great attitude, they can kill your revenue generation stream. Most management make 50% of the mistakes in the hiring process. And as Jack Welch, the past CEO of GE, once said, he was asked, how are you so good at hiring? He said, well, I only get it right about 50% of the time, but he doesn't keep poor hires. He would move them quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the key driving points here is that, yeah, you're going to make most of your mistakes by hiring the wrong people. It's going to chew up most of your time, cause you to have to fix a lot of things and spend the most time with those people that need a lot of help, primarily because you made the wrong hire to begin with. So as we keep going here, we're going to give you an idea of how you can fix that. So if you would, Karen, let's jump on poll number one. And it's a question to everybody of when you should be interviewing. So if you would, everybody jump in. When should you start your interviewing here? When should you be interviewing people?
Yeah, I love this question. Who's one quiz right before a big start?
As soon as somebody
throughout
quits,
the year?
As
you hire
soon as
one.
They quit, right before a start, constantly all year long, or as soon as you hire somebody, should you start interviewing again?
Interesting right. Results, Tom.
Absolutely. So looks like everybody here, hopefully is all voted in. And most of you selected consistently or constantly throughout the year as your, as to it. Now, my question to you though is that really what you do?
Right. I was just going to ask that.
How many people here actually are hiring every single month or interviewing every single month? 12 months out of the year, are you interviewing all 12 months of the year? Even though you said that's when you should be doing it, are you all doing that throughout the year? No. So everybody except Aaron out here, and Aaron as a disciple of ours, understanding the process. So everybody says, yes, we consistently should be doing it, but no one's doing that for the most part. So most of you aren't really practicing that piece. So let's talk a little bit about it. And one of the keys is you should always be interviewing ABI. And we're gonna talk about that process here. And there's a fantastic book out called The A Method for Hiring, and by Jeff Smart and Randy Street. And it's a fantastic book. If you don't have this book, you need to run out and get it. It is the best book on hiring that I've ever read. It's a must read for anybody in business, much less admissions. And one of the things they talk about, is you are what you eat, right? You hear that phrase. Well, in business, you are who you hire. Who you hire is going to determine how you do, what your culture is like. And Jim Collins, in the author of Good to Great, if you've read that book or seen the video on Good to Great, says that the most important decisions that business people make are not what decisions, but they're who decisions. Who are you hiring? And some key takeaways from the A Method for Hiring here is culture is more important than skills. So absolutely making sure that you've got the right culture in place at your company, and you're looking for someone that's going to fit into your culture. And if you don't have a defined company culture, that's something that you need to work towards. If you had to describe your company's culture in two words, and you don't have to do it here and you don't have to post in chat for sake of time, but how would you describe it? Is it fast-paced? Is it family-owned? Is it accountable people? Is it micromanaged? Is it dictatorship based, whatever it is. So what's the culture in your company in two words? Come up with the top two or three. Another quick key takeaway from this book is you need to revamp your hiring processes. Look at how you hire, because most people only look to hire when they need someone. And as we just mentioned, as you saw in that poll, always be interviewing. That's something that Lex and I talk about all of the time. Always be interviewing and create a pool of people to pull from. And one of the keys too for you as you're revamping your hiring process is look for referrals. We could go on for a long time about a lot of these things, but How many times are you actually looking to your employees and looking to people you know for referrals, as opposed to dropping an ad in Indeed and getting 1,000 people that we have to interview? Well, if we knew somebody good, why don't we hire those people that we know are already good? If you've interacted with people at another company and you really like them, hire them. Okay. Now, if it's a good friendly partnership company and you don't want to poach their people, that I get that. But if you know of a company and that guy is great, or she is a fantastic receptionist, she's a fantastic bank teller, he is an awesome salesperson at Best Buy, if you already know some people there, grab those people. Save yourself the time and the effort. And then the last couple of things here, quick. You need a top tier system for interviewing. And we're going to cover that, and we're going to cover a real specific process for interviewing people a little bit later in the presentation. And then the last thing here is make hiring an absolute part of your culture. Make people your number one priority. And make sure all of your staff knows that the number one priority is getting great people into this company. Have them looking for people constantly so that hiring doesn't become a last minute necessity.
Right on. And it should never be a knee-jerk element. And there's an old adage that says, hire slow, fire fast. Now, if you're constantly interviewing, you have people on your bench, and that's critical. So then you're not settling for someone just because you need someone.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Amazon, stop. I don't know why I start talking. So next step in the piece, step one, is define your needs. Know what qualifications your reps need to succeed. And I'd like you to put in the chat now, what are the main qualifications? Just type quickly, what are your main qualifications that you're looking for in a someone who can become a great rep, not just an average, not just a fill-in, someone we need because we're really short-staffed. What are the qualifications they need to succeed? And just take a minute to do that. And type that in chat. And we've got great relationship building skills. We've got, see this here. Okay, so far, great relationship building skills. Amanda, good for you. And what else do you have? Aaron, competitive, friendly, take ownership, driven. Vi, enthusiasm, teamwork. Tosh, discerning. Brent, great communication skills, networking, friendly. Amanda has initiative. All right, good. And you can keep adding there, we'll keep going for now though. It's fire in the belly. Into personal growth and development, Tosh just put. You're looking for people who are passionate about personal growth and development. We hire for attitude, train for skill. Write that down. You're going to hire for attitude, train for skill. Are they passionate about personal growth, or I'm open to training? That means they're just going to tolerate it. You don't want people who tolerate training. You want people who are personally passionate already about growing. That's critical. And also, the world of the generalist is dead. It has been dead for actually many years. You need specialists now, not generalists. And you need to organize your admissions departments for specialization. And what are the specialization elements that you need? Number one, appointment setters. Critical you have specialized, trained, and continue to be trained appointment setters, because the key drivers of your sales pipeline who qualify and set appointments. And whether you insource it internally or you're outsourcing it to some company who's going to do an exceptional job. But you should have, unless you're a tiny, small school, you need to separate, because people who are great at presenting many times are not great appointment setters. And most important, people who are presenting hate making phone calls and going through all of that. Then secondly, you need specialists in admission.
You're a slide ahead. I'll put that slide since you're covering ahead a little bit here. I'll keep going, and I'll just keep up with you.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Tom. And so then, my slides just skipped here. Hold on here. There we go. All right. And then your admissions reps. You need to make sure that with your admissions reps, as you're setting up your team, that those are specialists. Those are the face-to-face experts, your closers. Incredibly dynamic, incredibly charismatic, whether it's in person or virtually. And then you need your future student coordinators. Stop making reps be administrators and do all this paperwork. Because the moment you take them off of selling, you closed your sales door and your sales floor temporarily. And what the future student coordinator does is that does all the back end. Once they're presented to, once they're closed, the admissions representatives job is done in that part, as far as all of the paperwork and enrollment paperwork. And then you have the front desk and assistants. Those are your jack of all trades there. And then lastly, the DOA, Director of Admissions. That's the coach. And a sales manager's role, by the way, your Director of Admissions role is not to grow sales. It's to grow people. And most DOAs are spending way too much time on admin work and doing reports and so forth. Very inefficient, and they're spending almost no time or way too little time in developing and role-playing daily and training their people.
Yeah, and absolutely. And one of the keys as you look at these different roles that we mentioned out there, again, they are all specialists. We want the people that are fantastic on the phone to be on the phone. I don't want a generalist. I don't want someone that's a little bit good at this and a little bit good at that. You know, he's okay. He's really good at paperwork. I don't know who's good at paperwork, but you know, he's really good at this or that. You know what? Get the best people into the best roles and separate it so that you're giving your customer the best experience possible out there. And let's break it down just a little bit more as we talk about these different pieces. So Lex mentioned some of the different roles, but the first role here is getting into hiring the right coach. Every team can only be successful if they've got the right coach. You can put a lot of great players onto a team, but if they all are doing their own thing, they're not working together, they don't practice together, they all think they're fantastic and they don't want to learn and do it, it doesn't matter. You've got to have a coach, and it all starts right there with that DOA. Someone who's focused, is a forward thinker, someone who's a great team builder, open to great new ideas. DOAs need to be open to new ideas and realize that, you know, they don't know what they don't know, and they're always looking for something new. What we seem to run into a lot is that DOAs have been in the business for 20 years because they were great admissions reps at some school. Somebody promoted them to a DOA. They typically failed as a DOA because they didn't have any leadership or management skills. So now the school lost their top rep and they lost the manager all in one shot. If you've got great reps, here's the secret. Pay them so that they never want to be managers. So pay them well, because if you want people to actually convert and enroll and be great, pay them well, and you'll get top people to stay as opposed to, well, I can go make more money. If the managers are making more than the reps, there's something wrong. Okay? Your reps should make as much or more than the manager. They're the ones doing the work. Okay? The coach should be out there helping put that team together and helping them be more successful. Most DOAs are spending about 85% of their time on admin tasks. They're not working directly with the reps. You need to get out of the office, get out from behind the computer, and you need to be constantly working with your team, observations, training, one-on-one meetings. Do it again. Train, observe, improve, monitor it, start again. And that should be consistently what that DOA is doing. You need leadership skills, and I don't think it's going to be a help to you if you keep taking your top person, throwing them into management, and watch them flounder around because they lack, you know, the key core management skills to be successful. Lex, I'll let you talk a little bit about appointment setters. So what are the mindsets and skills that are needed to become good appointment setters?
Right. And appointment setters, to find great ones, it's hard. It takes a very unique personality and mindset to be great appointment setter. And they need to be great. Every part of your body has to be great, especially appointment setting, because it all starts there. If they don't bring enough prospective students, explorers, as we call them, in the mix, no matter how great your proposals are, they're not going to have enough people to work with. And most admissions representatives are not well suited for appointment setting. It's a different type of personality. And that's element. People who are salespeople, you know, Karen is and Tom is, and many of you here are as well, you'd much rather be presented to someone than going through the minutia of the task, calling, hung up, no-show, gotta chase them and re-inspire and connect with them. It's a very different type of mindset and mentality. And you're literally going from one mindset when you're admissions representative as this inspirational presenter, this person who is going through all these phone calls day after day after day and sending texts and so forth, well, ideally all that should be, but very different mindset, and it could it's very disjointing in this day and age to have a person playing dual roles, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And so you have a very specific type of person that you want who actually loves to talk on the phone. And there are some who do that, that absolutely love that. They would much prefer doing that than meeting people either virtually or in person. Now, when it comes to your appointment setting, can you hear me now?
No, Lex, I think you're breaking up pretty good.
Is that the same with you, Karen, as well? It was good before.
That's been in and out the whole time.
Here, I'm going to apologize to everybody.
I'll keep running with it for a bit unless you think you've got it.
How about this? If it's not better, I'll work on it. Is it better now?
Sounds better.
All right. Here we go. Thank you for letting me know. And one key element, everyone, is the less appointment setters know about your school, the better. They should not be giving information over the phone. That is not the role of the appointment setter. They're gathering information and creating connection and uplifting and inspiring someone to take that next step, either virtually or in person. They're building value. What's in it for me? Why should I show up as the explorer to a virtual or in-person appointment? And what's the purpose of first contact, by the way? Put briefly in the chat, what do you feel is the purpose of first contact? Type it in the chat. That first contact of the appointment setter. What's the purpose? Take a look in the chat here. Dun 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 dun. There we go. Aaron Clark, set the appointment. Brent Thompson, break the ice. Karen Fisher, get contact info. And Tosh, engage. And Amanda, build a relationship with why your school is awesome. Sandra, pre-qualify, and Amanda, on a surface level, of course. Aaron, be the initial contact, first impression. Yes, you are the first impression, director of first impressions. Bryce, hello, Bryce. Confirm active interest. And it is to create connection, number one. Create connection and build value for the appointment. Do not sell. Do not tell people how wonderful your school is. You're selling to them. That puts people off. Number one is to create connection, authentic connection, and build excitement, enthusiasm, uplift the emotional state of your explorer so they feel value, they get value as to taking one next step, which is showing up either for a virtual appointment or for an in-person appointment. That's the key. And make sure you're taking notes on all of this. And also, Bryce wrote, confirm active interest, Tosh, bring him back to what they shared. And of course, you want to make sure you get the contact info, but you usually have it because they've requested information from you already. All right, and then next step in here, is purpose of contact again is create connection, uplift emotion, inspire to action, not give information. And don't do that. That's old school. It hurts you. It's like feeding people who have a reservation at your restaurant and wondering why they don't come in for their reservation and getting mad at them. Why did you come in? Because you fed me already. Don't feed them with information. That's for the virtual or in-person appointment. Now, most reps, also, the admissions reps love face-to-face, not the phone. So you have to make sure when you're hiring or interviewing appointment setters that they truly love to speak on the phone and they sound awesome, that their personality literally jumps through the phone and they don't sound like this. Hi, Karen. Hi, Jody. Hi, Aaron. How are you? They have to have what Tom and I call verbal charisma. They grab you, they hold your attention, and they inspire you to action. And lastly, separating the appointment setting allows for scaling your business because the average rep doing everything can only work effectively with about 20 leads a week, about 80 leads a month. A dedicated appointment setter can work with many, many more, especially if you have a dialer. And we actually do have a dialer that we license to clients if you'd like to find out about that at any point as well. Anything to add to that, Tom?
Really just the fact that, again, we're talking about having specialists, having people specialize in what they're really good at. And if you build the structure and the foundation the right way, your ability to scale is increased. As Lex just mentioned, you know, appointment setters can handle hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of leads a month, okay? Especially if they've got some technology that allows them to dial and reach out more. You want to have automation. I want to have all of my texts automated, all of my emails automated. I want my phone to dial itself. I don't want to have to sit there and look up tasks and hit a button and dial and do all of them. I want to be more effective, more efficient. And so you want to automate all of those pieces through your CRM. And if you can't, find a CRM that can. do that, because you don't want your team manually doing anything. But one appointment setter can handle hundreds, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 leads a month potentially. Okay. If you had 500 leads a month and you have a 40% lead to appointment show, okay, that gives you 200 shows. 200 shows divided by 4 weeks means you're going to have 50 shows a week. 50 shows a week divided by 5 days is 10 shows a day. How many reps do you now need to handle 10 appointment shows a day? Maybe two, 1.5 to 2. Okay. So now instead of having 5 reps, I have 1 appointment setter and 2 reps, and they're booked all day long, booked solid all day. So now it helps improve your staffing levels because people specialize and they get to experience the best person at each stage. So you want to keep that in mind as you go through.
All right, I got something to add to that too, Tom, before we go on, is with dialing technology. Again, we have a very low cost dialing technology we license, and you can email us if you want to find out more. The average rep makes maybe 40 to 60 phone calls a day. Maybe, you know, 100 if they're really pushing it. With a dialing technology, whatever you may use, 2.5 reps, 2 full-time, 1 part-time. Last week they made 11,273 phone calls in 1 week. So you see how efficient having a specialist as well as having some type of automated dialing technology. They're not gonna make that many phone calls manually in 6 months. And what happens? Contact rate goes up. And they're specialists, so that's their focal point. They get trained just how to become great at making contacts, creating appointments, and most importantly, create show appointments, the people who show up.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the reps now. Let's talk about hiring rock star reps. So now we've got appointment setters ready to do all of those front end pieces to get those appointments set, to get those people coming in. They're fantastic on the phone. Now I need a rep. What are some of the traits that I'm looking for in a rep? So we asked you some of the traits earlier that you guys mentioned. We're going to post some here in the chat, and then I'm going to cover those with you so you can see exactly what we're looking at. But number one, I want to look for reps that have a learning mindset. Do they have the ability to learn? Are they open to learning? Do they want to learn? It's not an open mind. And there's a big difference between a growth mindset and an open mindset. Open means, I'm open to something. That doesn't mean I seek it out. I want a learning mindset. I want a growth mindset, someone who actually seeks improvement on a consistent basis. What do they read? What do they watch? What do they study? What do they do in their off hours? Are they binge watching The Walking Dead, or are they listening to Zig Ziglar, Grant Cardone, Brian Tracy, or someone else along of those types? What are they doing to improve themselves on their own? That learning mindset. Number two, are they willing to follow a process? Okay. I don't want a cowboy that's going to do it his way, okay, because this is what he did for 20 years at some other school and he got fired. Okay. So yeah, it's great that you have experience. Okay. I'm probably never going to hire you. Okay. The more experience you have in admissions, the less chance you would ever have of me ever hiring you. In fact, if you have any admissions experience, I would probably never hire you. Simply because you come with bad habits that are going to be hard for me to break. I want you to be able to follow a process that does well. I also looking for someone who has a positive mental attitude, someone who's got that positive outlook that I can do this, I want to do this, I can help everybody. We're also looking for someone that has great verbal and facial, what we call tonality or energy. Who lights up the screen when you see them on video? And we're going to talk about interviewing in a few minutes here. So we're going to talk about how you look for these traits. And you can't look for them on a sheet of paper, because nothing we've given you is on a resume. So a resume is the most useless piece of paper that you're ever going to see. Okay? It's going to give you no information regarding any of these skill traits that we're talking to you about. Open to improvements and optimizations. Are they open to someone telling them, hey, there's a better way and I'm going to coach you on what you need to improve on? Or do they say, I'm sick of Lex telling me that I keep needing to work on this, okay, all the time. I'm good enough at it. Okay. How do you take correction? How do you take optimizations? Do you take those in the manner that they're given that, hey, that's improving me. I can be better. I can help more people. Doesn't show up on a resume. They take 100% ownership. Everything is your fault in admissions. Okay? The student didn't enroll. My fault. There's something I did wrong. I didn't create enough value. I didn't follow the entire process correctly. I skipped a step. I didn't handle objections right. Whatever it is, it's my fault. I set an appointment, the person didn't show. Oh, you know, marketing's giving us terrible leads. Okay, it's not the lead's fault. Okay, it's your fault. You got to take ownership that everything is yours, and you internalize it, that what could I have done better to make it better? Are they driven and committed? Are they competitive? Do they want to win? And Aaron, I think, mentioned this earlier. We want people that want to win. People with a sports or athletic background, fantastic. Okay, those people are typically more competitive. Okay? I want people that want to win, that want to be better than the folks around them. People with great decision-making skills. Okay? You can't see it on a resume, but you can test it in an interview. Okay, I want to see what happens when somebody says, you know what, I want to think about it. Okay, yeah, go ahead, take all the time you want. Give me a call when you feel you're ready. Or, yeah, that's fantastic. I'm curious, what is it that you want to think about? I want to see how they make the decision, how their mind works on what they would do next. And then lastly, strong organizational skills. Okay? We still need you to complete paperwork properly. We still want you to make sure that you can complete reports on time, you're complete, that you really know and you have all of your tasks lined up. You don't have overdue tasks. It's not sloppy. They're really well organized. It's a lot of stuff to look for in one person. But those are some of the core key traits that you want to find when you're looking for rock star reps.
And one of the elements, before we move on, I was muted when I was attempting to say it, is when it comes to taking 100% ownership, everything is their fault. Most reps, to some degree, play victims. You cannot have a victim rep in your organization. Victims of, oh, the leads are bad. Victims of, oh, it's COVID-19. COVID-20 is around the corner. 23 is going to be coming in 2025. They can't be playing victims. And you know what the opposite of a victim is? A creator. So they need to move their mindset, and who are looking for us, from victims to creator. So that's super important there. All right, continue, Tom.
Perfect. So here's a next poll that's up for everybody here. What's your biggest challenge? What's your main challenge when you're interviewing people? Take a moment, jump in the poll here, and we'll keep moving. But what is the biggest challenge you're facing when you're interviewing people? Is it attracting enough good people? Is it finding the time to actually interview all of these people? Does it knowing how to evaluate the people properly that you're getting resumes from? Or is it sifting through hundreds and hundreds of resumes when I post something on Indeed? All right, perfect. So attracting enough candidates seems to be leading with knowing how to evaluate being second. So good stuff. So we're going to give you some tips now on how you can improve these different pieces. So we'll keep it moving pretty well as we go through it.
Yes. All right.
And Lex, just talk a little bit about the interview process here.
All right. So number one, many top employees, as Tom mentioned earlier, are not apparent on a resume. You need to assess three main things. Number one, are they a cultural fit? Are they in alignment with your culture and your philosophy? Number two, what are their skills and decision-making capabilities as a starting point? Number three, what are their ability to perform the duties that an admissions representative does? And also, another one that's not here is, do they have the fire in the belly? Are they committed to achieving results and outcomes? Excuse me, and not trying. Do they have a try mentality or I'm going to do it mentality? And we break the process into three steps virtually. Number one, and this is the three steps of our virtual interview. Tom's going to discuss in more detail. Number one, it's a group interview for the first one to assess the basic skills and attitude. And number two, the second round is a smaller group interview to assess ability, following a process and coachability. We actually suggest you give them coaching and initial training in that second round interview. You will see who really is passionate about learning and who is not. And then the third and final round, which can be conducted day one, day two, and day three, is interview to assess fit. And you ask deeper questions, you ask, give them a closing, have them close you, see how they do with it. And go a lot deeper with them to assess if they are a cultural fit for your school. You're muted, Tom.
One of the questions was, how do we attract, or one of the poll answers, how do we attract more people? most of your posts on Indeed are so boring that no one of any that has any desire to want to succeed is never coming to your school. So that's number one. You've got to really create a fantastic template for an ad. It has to be selling the position, not requiring certain things to be happen. Sell your school online. You got to spend a lot of money creating a landing pages. Enrollment Resources, probably the greatest landing pages I've seen in this industry. They convert at the highest level of any landing pages we've seen. Well, there's a lot of wordsmithing that goes into creating all of the content for that landing page. Yet when you're going to hire people, which is infinitely more important than a landing page, you don't have anyone proofing and copyright, and going through the copy that you're about to post on Indeed. So it's a boring ad that attracts nobody, that has a really low salary, that has no ability to earn commissions, which again, we know you can't pay commissions. Okay. But when I'm reading this, if I'm a good salesperson, would I be attracted to your position? Because you want someone who has sales ability. Okay. I want someone, it's great to care, to help people, but that doesn't actually help us enroll anybody. Okay. It's great for you personally. I need people that can actually follow a sales process and help sell. Okay. We're not talking hard sales. We're not talking sleazy used car sales here. You have to understand the basics of sales. So number one, fix your Indeed or Monster or wherever you're posting, fix your ads and create something that's visually super appealing, that looks dynamic, that's colorful, that really attracts people. Look where you're advertising those ads. Look at the salary that you're paying. Okay. I would like this. Hopefully my admissions rep brings in $4 million this year, but I think I'll pay him $30,000. Okay. If you were in any other company, you'd be making, $100,000 if you brought in that much money. So you want to make sure, I'm not saying pay him that, but you've got to make sure that the salary is going to be commensurate with what you're expecting to get out of people. If I want a high enough level people. And the second biggest piece is stop looking for people that are going to work only within a 30-mile radius of your school. Okay. Get on board with virtual enrolling. Open your ads up to everyone in the entire world, or at least the country that you're in. Okay. East Coast, West. Man, if I had somebody on the West Coast and I'm an East Coast school, perfect, because their 6 o'clock is 9 o'clock. That's great. Now I have evening coverage on the phones, okay, virtually. If I have my West Coast school and I have somebody, or a Mountain Time school, I have East and West Coast, perfect. Go virtual with your admissions team, which presents some challenges that you can overcome. Okay, but you now have a pool of millions of potential people that can work for you, as opposed to 30 or 40 potential candidates that live in your particular city. Okay? So if you want to enroll more people, go virtual with it. So let me jump from this into the next piece here and talk about round one, which Lex alluded to earlier. In round one, we're doing a virtual interview session here. So we're going to take all the candidates. We are not going to look at the resumes whatsoever. We're going to invite everybody to a virtual interview. And during that interview, we're going to ask them two questions. First question, why do you want this job? Why do you want it? Okay. Second question we'll ask in another round is, what is your sales background and your approach to sales? And a lot of people say, well, I don't have a sales background. I have a customer service background. So good. What's your approach to selling something? Relationship. I want to build a relationship. I want to understand their needs. Great. I mean, those are things I want to hear. Okay. Why are we asking just those two questions and trying to and interviewing 80 people, 100 people at one time in a giant room? Okay. What are we looking for? Well, we're looking for those core skills of, can you assess that they have a positive mental attitude? If Karen speaks, okay, in the first 10 seconds, I know whether she has a positive attitude or not. I can tell whether she's today's webinar. So I can see whether she's enthusiastic or not. This is an interview, people. Number two, do they have great facial tonality and energy? Do you come across as someone who's energetic, or are you sitting back on your couch in your living room, wearing a t-shirt or a hoodie? So I can assess your professionalism. I can test your energy level. Do you come across as someone who's confident about themselves? I want confidence. I want someone who's absolutely confident in their answer. I want someone who also answers the question, why do you want this job? Well, I want to help people. There's a million ways to help people that don't involve being in admissions. Okay. You can go work for a food bank. You can go work for a homeless shelter. You can go work and donate your time anywhere else in the hospital. You can do whatever. Okay. That, you know, just because you want to help people doesn't help me. Okay. Why? What's at the core? Why do you want this job? And then lastly, again, professionalism, as we mentioned, do they show up? Are they on time? If it's a 1 o'clock Zoom interview, we start at one. We don't start at 1:01. Okay. We don't let people in late. You show up early for an interview or we shut the room off. Okay. And then people know that, oh, I couldn't get on Zoom. Well, if you can't get on Zoom, you probably can't be an admissions rep either. Okay. I know everything I'm saying sounds like, wow, he is the most callous, heartless guy I've ever met. And you're probably right. You're probably right. Okay. So I want your schools to be successful. So I want you to have the right people that are going to generate, you know, the ability to inspire people and help you grow your school and in the process, help people achieve their dreams. So those are the first things we're going to get out of that first interview.
Absolutely. And then we go
then
to
we're
round
gonna invite
two.
Those people to a second round. So let's go through what do we do in the second round.
Right. So second round, what we do is you take the best candidates from the first round. And by the way, also note, how do they dress? Especially virtually, but in person. We had a guy one time show up for an interview with no shirt on. What are you thinking? I get to work from home. I thought I can just have no shirt on. No, you're fired. I'm not hired. Well, you're out of here. So how do they dress as well? And if they're on time, first interview, second interview. 1 second after 1 o'clock is late. Oh, I was having trouble with my computer. These are ways you can assess a person's work ethic as well. Now, round two, we look at all the candidates, which is a much smaller group now, round two, and have them role play a small portion of the script. And also, they do a practice closing with an objection. We are not looking for perfection. We're looking for number one, can they follow instructions? We tell them to read the script verbatim. Don't change a word. It's amazing how many say, well, I'm just putting it in my own words. No, I told you to read it verbatim. That's a giant red flag. You're looking for red flags. The easy stuff is easy to find, the good stuff. Look for the red flags. And because chances are they're times 10 if you hire them. And then you want to give them light coaching, not some heavy coaching, but some light coaching. We do round robin. They go through a small portion, one paragraph of the script, and through round robin. Then we give each person about 2, 3, 5 minutes of coaching on it. And how do they take it? Do they improve? Do they get passive aggressive? You can see their body language profoundly. Facial expressions, postures, you can see if they're into it. And do they follow or change, you know, what the script was? And do they get even a little bit better? They have to have some improvement. And do they sound engaging? Are they someone you would want to hear? Perfection is not important. Are they someone that you would love to engage with and they grab you? Verbal charisma. And also when they close, how do they approach handling objections? Oh, I really can't afford it now. Maybe a couple months. Okay. And if they go into that perspective, they don't have the right mindset to be a good closer for you. They'll just be nice, but not effective. And what do we assess during the second round interview? Number one, do they have a passionate growth mindset, not a tolerant, open one? Yeah, I'm open to learning a little bit. No, they're passionate about growth and personal and professional development. Number two, are they willing to follow a process and are they adaptable? They're used to saying something a certain way. You're giving them some light coaching, say it like this. You used to have a bit more energy. What inspires you to consider? What inspires you to consider? Are they adaptable? Do they show you a positive mental attitude? Your attitude determines your altitude. Remember, you're hiring for attitude. We could train anyone for skills. This is not rocket science admissions. Attitude is critical. Also, do they have a great baseline of facial and verbal tonality? Do they seem interesting or do they seem like they just won $1 million and they took $1 million and they went to get $1 million of Botox in their face right before their meeting with you that day, which you'd be surprised, a lot of people look like that. And number five, are they open to improvements and optimizations? Or even more than open, are they passionate? And yes, it's uncomfortable. Training begins at the end of your comfort zone, that's a fact. But are they passionate about being willing to be uncomfortable so they can get better? And then number six, do they take 100% ownership for how they're doing? not being victim to anything. Oh, I'm just having a bad day. I was late drinking tequila and I ate 4 worms yesterday and I was hallucinating. Do they take 100% responsibility for how they're doing? And lastly, does it appear they have solid decision-making based upon the coaching that you give them? And then from that second round, and it takes just minutes, you could tell a person's work ethic, you could tell a person's attitude. Then from that, you bring the top people back to the third and final round, which could be done Monday, round one, Tuesday, round two, Wednesday, round three.
And so let's talk about round three. So what happens? So let's give you a quick scenario. I know we got to be cognizant of time here. A quick scenario. If I invite 100 people to round one, only 30% will show. So only 30% of people will actually show. So I'll probably only get 30 people.
It's universal.
Of those 30 people, maybe I'll select 10, 11, 12 for a second round. Of the second round, once I get into those questions, I might come up with 3-4 people, for a final round. Then I'll get to the final round. The final round is when I'll actually do the traditional one-on-one interviews with those people. Our recommendation is that you invite closer to 200 people to round one, because you're only going to get 70. Okay? And then out of 70, if I can get 25 out of round one for round two, then out of the 25 in round two, maybe I'll get 6 or 7 for round three. So now I've at least got it down to the last few people. And in round three, more traditional one-on-one interview, but we start with cultural questions because we talked earlier, looking to make sure they're a good cultural fit. What research have they done about you? Walk me through your last positions and what results you were responsible for. What inspired you to leave that employer? I want to know why they left. Not why'd you quit, why'd you get terminated, why'd you leave? Just what inspired you to leave? Well, I got fired. What professional goals would you like to accomplish? Do those goals match up? I mean, we get people that have doctorate degrees applying. I'm pursuing my doctorate in psychology. And I thought that this would be a good, really? So you're going to be here for 10 years? No, you're going to be here for like a year and a half before you get your doctorate. So you can go find out that you can't get a job in psychology anyway. But anyway, so you want to make sure that their goals align with what you're looking for. Thoughts on their previous bosses. What'd you think about your previous employer? I want to know, do they have bad things to say about their employers or their boss? That's a red flag. How would you handle a directive you're given that you don't agree with? Do you just ignore it? Do you bring it up to somebody? Do you just do it? But you don't like it. Just how would you handle those types of situations? And then we look at the core value then is describing the job and the environment to them and selling the school. This is the piece that almost everybody's missing. If you've got a candidate that you really like and they're giving you great answers, it's your job now to start selling. Okay. I need to sell this position to this person. Okay. Because they're looking at probably 10 other job opportunities right now. I want them to be interested in mine. So you need to start selling how they would fit in, make them feel at home, how this job's going to fit their style and be the perfect job for them. I think most of the time we think, okay, tell me, Karen, why we should hire you. No, it should be, we want you. This is fantastic. Here's what we're doing. And selling the job to them as well, because they have a lot of different offers. And a lot of times we find a great candidate. And then we make them an offer 2 days later because we have more people to interview. And then all of a sudden that person's off the market. So you want to stockpile those pool of people in those interviews as you go through. So that's a key for round three. That'll allow you to find your final one or two. If you're hiring for one, hire two, because one's not going to make it. Hire two. You might hire three to get one. You're going to find out you need, hey, I can't decide. Good. Hire two of them. Okay. Because one of those people's not going to, they're going to show you that despite all of the interviews and everything we did, they're not going to make it. So this is gives you a really great idea of exactly how the hiring process should be done. I'm going to take 1 minute and just cover onboarding quickly with you. Since we're running low on time, we want to open it up for some questions. Just on a last note, what do I do? And we'll get to that poll question maybe here if we have time. How do we onboard people? And just a couple takeaways for everybody that's on here when you're onboarding people. Make sure you have an onboarding process that involves multiple phases and a ramp up process. Most of you, your hiring process is, well, heck, I need this person now. So you know what? Go shadow Johnny over there for a couple of days and then you're on the phone. And then we'll keep an eye on you. And then that's a recipe that person will be gone. They're not going to be successful. You've got to take your time. This is why you're always interviewing and you're having a pool and you hire multiple people for one position, potentially. It's going to save you money in the long run, even though you hired two to get one. It's going to save you money. In the beginning, we'll put something together. If you're interested, we can give you a 8-week ramp up schedule. I'm not going to go through it all here today, but week one, it's just light product knowledge. They don't need to know everything about your product week one, because what I want them to do first is learn how to set appointments. And that's the fundamental part of admissions, is appointment setting. So get them appointment setting within the first week. And then I can start showing them how to present, how to close, and more about the programs in week two. If they're overwhelmed in week one with all this product knowledge you're giving them, stop. Just give them the basics of appointment setting, cover it, get them role-playing and practicing every day. Week two, appointment setting. Week three, you can start talking about presenting and closing and getting deeper into product knowledge. By the end of week four, they should be operating at about 50% of the KPIs you expect. By the end of week six or so, probably closer to 60%. And by the end of week eight, they should be around 70% of the KPIs that you're expecting of a standard rep by week eight. So by the 90-day mark, we're probably somewhere close to 80 to 90% of the way there, but not at 100. They won't be at 100% till close to 6 months in. So at that point, I know we've got a little bit of time left. We wanted to open it up for you guys for any specific questions that you may have. Any questions for us? You want to type them in chat, or if you've sent any to Karen? I know it's a lot of information to take in a short period.
Questions?
Any questions, anything. And as I mentioned, that first interview, you're only going to get 30% to show. So you need to have a pretty significant pool. If you're only going to invite 25 people and a third of those show, you're going to get like 8 people to show up. You might not find anybody in 8 people.
Right.
You need a large pool. And that's why the virtual interview allows you to just go big.
Right.
And you give people only 60 seconds to answer a question. That's it. They get 60 seconds of their why, 60 seconds to tell me about yourself. That's it. Maybe 30 seconds, because really all you need to assess is a couple of those intro traits.
Right. But be very severe when it comes to if someone RSVPs, because initially you have the ad, then they apply. Then you have them RSVP by sending them an email with the link to your Zoom chat room. And so here's the link. Let me know you're going to attend. From the people who would say they will attend, 30% show. And if they no show, no call, no contact, don't let them in again. They showed you who they are. So it's a really quick way to assess a lot of different elements.
The other thing you'll find in that first round is 30% will show, but another 5% will leave,
drop off
during that interview, because they're going to look and see this group interview and they're going to hear the first question and they're going to decide this isn't for me. I don't want to have to answer it. Why should I have to answer these questions? I want to, you know, talk about my resume and all the great things I've done. They won't like the process. So they'll drop out, or they're uncomfortable on Zoom, or something. They'll see who else they're competing against and they'll just decide to drop out. They're doing you a favor. If you want the job, you'd stick around. Okay? So you're going to find the people that want it. I don't understand why 60% of people won't show up. Maybe they've already taken a job. You know, but if you run an ad on Sunday, a great ad, you'll get enough resumes by end of day Monday, most likely, to set up a Tuesday first round. Then you can do a Wednesday second round, a Thursday final round, and make your offers, get accepted offers by Friday. So within 1 week, you can go through. We've done over 1,000 people in a week, a week's time. So we can run through 1,000 candidates. In 1 week, you think you're going to find some good people if you do 1,000 candidates in 1 week?
Yep. It is a numbers game. And by the way, on the flip side is a lot of people, most, the majority of people end up loving this process, especially the second round where they interview and they learn something in this light coaching and they get to know other people. So you actually get a lot of goodwill for your school as well, because most really enjoy the process. But you get a few people who are negative. That's just who they are. Don't dissuade yourself from doing this. You get a few negative Sals or Sallys in there. And Tosh had a question here.
Now I'll go to that question because it's a good question. If you have A players not looking, why? So you've obviously not created a culture of that's people driven, of finding the best people. It's all related back to the culture and leadership that you set. If it's, we need to find great people, just like our great people. I mean, when you ask for referrals as an admissions rep, hey, it's fantastic, Karen, you know, that's your enrolling plan. We'd love to have more people just like who? Who do you know that's just like you or have the same drive as you? Just the same thing applies to your employees. They should be on the hunt for good people. Your employees know who's not pulling their weight. Okay. Your employees know who's great. I want the great employees to know that they want, you know, they should be want to be surrounded by more great people. Because they, you know, you certainly know that, well, if Susie's not carrying her weight, I have to do her work now. I would rather not have, I want somebody else that, you know, is like me. So who do you know? So if you want somebody else that work has your work ethic, who do you know? You should be on LinkedIn. You should be on, you should be looking, and you don't have to find people in your industry. You know, who do you know that's, a, you know, again, working at the bank, working at Best Buy, working at Home Depot, working at, you know, any kind of, you know, a rival company, a rival school, you know, who knows? There's great people everywhere. There's so many of them. Okay. Why can't we just reach out to people that we've met that we think are really fantastic and see if they're interested? And if they're not, who do they know? I'll take the recommendation of somebody who's awesome that, you know, this is maybe not the right fit for them, but they may know somebody. Right. Build the referral chain.
And here's something else too, is the question is, do you know anyone? Who do you know? Write that down. Who do you know? That's the question. Number two, go out in the field as a manager, owner, director of admissions. Go out in the field, go to a Best Buy. You're going to see who's personable. You can absolutely outbid what they're making and have them hired within a week. And then have them work with you, you know, test them, ask them questions. Are they personable? Do they go over and above? Or do they just point, hey, it's over there. So go out and about in the field, be creative, do some guerrilla warfare, not warfare, but guerrilla, you know, sourcing of people too. Go to banks, you know, wherever customer service people would be. And you're gonna find some great employees. You're gonna already know how they feel to you, you know, in the wild, so to speak.
This has been great. Thank you so much. I'm just being mindful of time. I see. Thank you, Amanda, for letting us know that you're signing off. Any last few words? Did I cut you off at all?
No, it's all good.
Works complete. And also, well, I do have one thing. I mean, if anyone would like to, you know, more specific information about anything we shared, email tom@theartofadmissions.com or lex@theartofadmissions.com. Happy to share, do a free session with you and see how we can help you.
We're absolutely going to follow up with everyone who participated. We're going to send you an email with a recording and contact information as well. I personally would love a follow-up, the document, the 8 steps that you mentioned, Tom, or the for onboarding. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, we'll send that out to, I'll send it to you, and then anybody who requests it, to you, you can get it out to them.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you both so much for joining us and so happy to have you. And I hope that we can have you back because this was a wealth of knowledge and I really appreciate you both and your time. So I think it's a long weekend for you guys and us too. So
enjoy a great weekend, everybody.
No, thank you. Thank you to Shane and everyone at ER for having us as well.
Okay. Bye for now.
All right. Bye, everybody.